deine Güte reicht so weit, so weit, so weit der Himmel ist. Herr, deine Güte reicht so weit, so weit, so weit der Himmel ist. Und deine Wahrheit, und deine Wahrheit, und deine Wahrheit so weit die Wolken gehen. Herr, deine Güte reicht so weit, so weit, so weit der Himmel ist. Und deine Wahrheit, und deine Wahrheit, und deine Wahrheit so weit die Wolken gehen. Herr, deine Güte reicht so weit, so weit, so weit der Himmel ist. Halleluja,
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 Halleluja, Halleluja, Halleluja,
Halleluja,
Halleluja,
Halleluja,
Halleluja, Halleluja.
Could you please take your Gesangbuch der Mennoniten, the little black book, and sing song number 17. Gesangbuch der Mennoniten number 17. And please stand.
For our call to worship, let's all turn to the Brown Hymnal, number 665. If you're already there, there are instructions to say it or speak it antiphonally or in unison. This morning we would like to speak it in unison. That means everybody says all the words. Okay? Let's begin.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me, uttering slanders against me, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yea, wait for the Lord.
And if you would join us in song again, please open your Mennonite hymnal to number 342, God is my strong salvation. And this song is really a paraphrase of the Psalm 27 that we just read. And if you're able, please stand and join us.
We didn't do that. A warm welcome to all of you who have gathered together this morning for this worship service. Ein herzliches Willkommen an allen erschienenen Gästen heute Morgen. Are there any guests that need to be introduced? Es sind Gäste vorzustellen? Well, if not, then we'll just continue. A few announcements to highlight this morning. First, as always, we need to remember in prayer those members of our congregation in hospital or sick at home, those who are living in personal care homes or other places, you know, who are too sick or too weak to be here, especially John Gunther, who is still in Concordia Hospital, Anita Kaspa, who is now at home, apparently. Special request under number one, James and Kim Zacharias and their extended family are asking for prayer support for their family as they try and figure out what's wrong with Kim's sister, Melanie. Pray that you keep them in your thoughts and prayers. Last Sunday, there was an announcement that they were hosting a potluck supper this Sunday after church, but that apparently has been postponed, and there'll be further announcements coming about that. Yes, please. Yes. You want to come up right now? Sure.
Thank you, Peter. I know there's no sharing, formal sharing time today, so thank you for hearing me out today. As I talked about a little bit last Sunday, Kim's younger sister Melanie, her husband, they came back about 12 days ago from Cambodia. Last Saturday, she went into the emergency room experiencing a really severe headache. And by Sunday when we got there, she wasn't really at all rousable, and they had to put a tube in her throat to make sure she didn't swallow her tongue and choke. She's gotten actually worse since then. They've done many, many tests, they've actually given her no sedation for 48 hours. And except for breathing on her own, with the tube, she's not responding in any way. Her pupils are open and they're not working, and her arms are just floppy and she's not responding. So we're certainly fearing the worst, praying for the, and hoping for the best, but being also realistic, it's a very serious situation and we're not sure what's going to happen. Many thanks to all the prayers and support we've had, and continue please to pray for, most especially for healing for Melanie, but also for us as we try to support Guy and Kim's mom and dad. Thanks.
Thank you, James, for sharing that news with us. Under number three, Leanna is working on the calendar for February and again wants to remind everybody to get their information into her by the middle of the week. Then after that, there are quite a few announcements about various schools, high schools, CMU, MCC. Under number six, I was asked to just remind you that as it says in the middle of number six, NKMC doesn't currently have a parent representative for this fundraising event. So if anybody wants to get involved there, you can contact Westgate or the email address that's given there. And then come various announcements for CMU and MCC. Under number 10, there is a Mennonite Church Manitoba delegate gathering in Steinbach at the end of February, and if anybody would care to be a delegate from this congregation, again, they're asked to contact either Gary or Leanna, make their willingness known. Are there any other announcements that need to be highlighted? Please.
Hi, I'd just like to invite all the kids downstairs for Sunday school.
Yeah, sorry, I wasn't sure where that came in the program today. And then I would invite Pastor Gary to come up for a special presentation to my dear friend, Diakon Jakob and Anna Klassen. Please, Gary.
Good morning. I know I'm not Gary, but I do have the distinct pleasure of taking part in this, and I would like to ask Jacob and Anna Klassen to please come up to the front of the church. And we are here today. One of the things we're going to do today is thank them for their many, many years of service to Bethania House and to the Missions Choir. I'll just wait a moment. So I just prepared a little thing. Sorry, you want to? So good morning, everyone. This morning I have the honor of thanking Jacob and Anna Klassen on behalf of the congregation for 40 years of dedicated service to the Missions Choir. On the second Monday of every month, for the past 40 years, Jacob and Anna have been faithfully giving the residents of Bethania the gift of song and prayer continually. Anna lent her voice to the Missions Choir, and Jacob always had a prayer on hand for the residents. Whether through song or prayer, Jacob and Anna used the gifts that God has given them to touch the lives of the residents of Bethania, affirming in them his greatest gifts of love and compassion. On behalf of the congregation of NKMC and on behalf of your church family, I would like to say thank you. And for showing us through all your years of service, what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus and loving, giving members of our church family. I would like to present you with a small token of our appreciation on behalf of the congregation. I understand you go there quite frequently, so thank you again on all your great and loving
May
gifts.
I say something?
Absolutely. You're more than welcome to.
Of course I like to say something. You know what? If you wouldn't have prayed so much for us, for the clinic loss and town to closure, we couldn't have done it what we did. Thank you. Again. And again, for the prayers for so many, many years. And one more thing. You remember when my sisters came from Russia the first time? I don't know if you do. Well, you know what? You gave them a very, very big present. The whole congregation. Should I say what it was or not? Yes. Each sister got $1,000. Just imagine. No receipt. Jesus will give you a receipt. Wasn't that amazing? You didn't know them. You never saw them. And you gived. $1,000 when they went back to Russia. It was lots and lots of money. And they were so happy, so thankful. And you did it. All of you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Tim's.
If I could invite the prayer shawl ministry up to present Jacob and Anna with their shawls.
There's more. There's more. What if I do it from here?
I haven't got my hearing yet. May I get my...
Can you hear me from here?
Okay,
can you hear me from here? Okay, can you hear me like this? Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Maybe I need that mic. Okay. Yeah. Is this working? Okay. Okay, we are members of the... Okay.
Thank
oh,
you.
Good. Okay, I want this for both of you. We are members of the Prayer Shawl Ministry. And while we are working on prayer shawls, we pray for those who receive them. And when we have completed, we lay our hands on the shawl and we have a picture taken and we pray a blessing on the recipients of the shawl. Today, we want to do this personally. We want to present each one of you with a shawl. We will put the shawl on you and pray a blessing on you. The blessing is, may God's grace be upon these shawls for Jake and Anna, warming, comforting, enfolding, and embracing. May these shawls be a safe haven, a sacred place of security and well-being, sustaining and embracing in good times as well as in difficult ones. May Jake and Anne, who be cradled in hope, kept in joy, graced with peace, and wrapped in love. Blessed be.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for all the prayers.
Thank you. I like to shake your hand. Everyone,
thank you.
We'd like to have a prayer over them. I realize this seems a little redundant, but this is what we've planned. So if you are family members or if you just like to come to the front and place a hand on them while we pray, we invite you to do that. So if you've worked together with him as a deacon or if you're family members, like I said, we invite you to come up. It's good to see that Tim's takes second place to some other things. I'd like to invite you to stand, and we'd like to ask God's odd blessing on Jacob and Anna. God, we want to thank you for the church that you have called us to be a part of, and we think of all you have done for us. We are humbled. But God, you have also called us to respond and use the gifts you have given us in the service of your kingdom, and Jacob and Anna have done that. We want to thank you for the way they have faithfully walked many years as deacons in the church, as working in Bethania, and many other things. They have faithfully worked hard. And so we ask that you would bless them, that you would give them a sense of joy, knowing that they have been participants in your kingdom, that they would know that you have already said to them, well done, good and faithful servants. Continue to be with them, help them to feel your nearness. Thank you for the example that they can be to us as a church family, encouraging us all to use our gifts for your kingdom. Amen. You may be seated.
Большое спасибо. Großes Dankeschön. Der
dort erste kleine Klose nicht wird.
Thank you for allowing us to be part of that meaningful service. And as our prayer, the quartet would like now to add our prayer to this service.
Now please take your Mennonite hymnal, the brown book, and song number 391, and we will take the offering now.
The service today is focused on the theme of light. We read about it in Psalm 27, God is my light. We just sang about it in verse 3 of this hymn, light of light from God proceeding. Our first reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. In the preceding chapters, we read about Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, and Jesus being led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus survives, withstands the temptations, and returns briefly to Nazareth. But when he hears that John the Baptist has been arrested, for some reason, he leaves town. It doesn't say why, but he goes down about 50 kilometers downhill to the shore of the Sea of Galilee to reside in the fishing village of Capernaum. Here he begins his teaching and healing ministry, and here he calls his first disciples from among the fishermen of the village. He is constantly besieged by people wanting to hear his words and be healed. And he withdraws into the surrounding hills, hoping for peace and quiet, but the crowds follow him. And sitting on the hillside, he gathers his new disciples around them, and we can assume that there are crowds of people sitting below them, and he begins to preach the most famous sermon in history. It begins with the 8 Beatitudes, the Selig Preisungen, blessed are the poor, blessed are the peacemakers, etc., etc. And then come two somewhat unusual statements, which are only partially explained. He addresses mostly his disciples, but also the people around him and us today. He says, you are the salt of the earth. What does that mean? And then, even stranger, he says, you are the light of the world. To the disciples and probably most of the people around, they would have known Psalm 27 and other passages from the Old Testament, from the Hebrew Scriptures, would say that God is light. And later on in Jesus' ministry, we hear him say to the disciples, quote, I am the light of the world. So we know that, but here he says to the people, to the disciples, to us, you are the light of the world. Very often in Jesus' ministry, he uses this teaching mechanism. He says, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, or whatever, but I say unto you, and the same principle applies here, you have heard it said that God is light. Yes, he is. But I say unto you, you are also the light of the world, if you let God's light into your hearts and spirits, and then let it shine forth. And he is not addressing the great people of the world, the kings and princes, the saints, St. Francis of Assisi or Mother Teresa, or great men like Albert Schweitzer or Nelson Mandela. He's talking to simple fishermen, farmers, housewives, servants, slaves, and to us. When he says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone and everything around it in the house." In the same way, you must let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let us hear the words of Jesus and listen and obey. I'm looking forward to what Brother Chris has to say about that later on. But first, I've asked the quartet to sing a favorite song, which allows us to hear the words of Jesus, or to hear Jesus speaking to us, not with words, but in other ways, through the early morning sunrise, through the gentle breezes of the day, through the evening dusk, through the stars at night, through the wonders of his creation, the mountains, the forests, the fields. I invite them to come up to sing, "Du redest Herr zu mir."
Des frühen Morgenstille über Berg und Täler ruht und die nächtigen Nebel weichen vor der Morgenglut. Wenn die Linden Lüfte ziehen, sollen sie unsere bebend fühlt, du redest Herr zu mir. Oh, wie dann mein Herz es bebend fühlt,
du redest Herr,
oh Herr, zu mir. Wenn des Tages Last zu Ende, jedes Tages Werk getan, wenn die ersten Sternlein funkeln hoch am Himmelsplan, wenn die Schöpfung wie in Andacht schaut empor, fühle ich, dass du mir nahe bist und redest Herr zu mir. Fühle ich, dass du mir nahe bist
und redest Herr,
oh Herr, zu mir. All die Wucht der hohen Berge, all die Pracht in Wald und Flur, sind die Wunder deiner Werke, deiner Füße Spur. Schenk mir Augen, die da sehen,
und auch ein Ohr,
stets offen mir, und ein Herz, das höret und versteht dein Reden, Herr, zu mir. Und ein Herz, das höret und versteht
dein Reden, Herr,
oh Herr, zu mir.
The second reading, which Chris has chosen for this morning, is taken from the first letter of Peter. a letter which he addressed to Christian believers scattered throughout the ancient Roman provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Bithynia. These no longer exist, but the land is still there in northern and central Turkey, just south of the Black Sea. Of course, there are not too many believers left there anymore. The letter was probably written, or more correctly, dictated by Peter about 62 to 64 AD. We must remember he was not an educated man. He could probably read a little bit of Hebrew from the scriptures, maybe a little bit of Greek as well. He certainly couldn't write very well. So he depended on his secretary, Silvanus, whom he calls a faithful brother, to translate his thoughts, his words of encouragement, his words of admonition and instruction to these Christians into these words, as we find them in the letter of 1 Peter. The believers were suffering a period of intense persecution. That's one of the reasons why they were scattered. They probably had left their homelands and tried to find refuge in other places. This is one reason why the letter was well-liked among Anabaptists, men and Mennonites. Like the original recipients of this letter, our Anabaptist Mennonite forefathers had also been driven from their earthly homes and scattered across Europe by the intense persecution of Catholics and Protestants alike. Peter addressed his recipients as aliens and exiles, as strangers and pilgrims. This is maybe how they felt. Strangers and pilgrims who live temporarily here on earth, but whose true homeland and citizenship is in heaven. But while in this world, they were admonished not to be of the world, rather to live differently, as obedient and loving children, to live as if God's light was in them and to show this light to others. In the final portion of the letter, Peter addresses himself to the elders, to the senior church leaders, and he encourages them and admonishes them to lead not by giving orders, and this probably means that this is what they were doing. He had heard about it, so he writes to them and says, remember Jesus. Jesus uses the imagery of a shepherd who gently leads his flock, who doesn't whip them into submission. And Peter probably recalls the words that Jesus spoke to him after his resurrection when they were eating by the seaside. And Jesus commanded Peter to, quote, feed my lambs. And later on, he told Peter, tend my sheep. So this is what Peter writes to the elders. I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed. Tend the flock of God that is your charge, not by constraint, not because you have to, but willingly because you want to. Not for shameful material gain, but eagerly, for the sheer delight of doing it. Not as domineering over those in your charge, not by ordering them around, but by being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd is manifested, you will obtain the unfading crown of glory. So much for his attention to the elders, to the senior leaders. He then turns his attention to the younger generation of leaders and members, and he invites them to clothe themselves with humility. What does that mean? The word that is used here, to clothe, is a Greek word which is used to describe a servant, a slave, putting on an apron or a garment or a pair of overalls in preparation for some work, some service. And of course,